This is Jeff.
This is Brett.
This is Megan.
And we're just talking about Star Wars all the time on the Skywalk.
What's up, Moof Milkers? Welcome to episode 127, a very special episode, Solobration.
Oh, yeah.
In this episode, we'll talk about Solo, a Star Wars story, and nothing else.
We're going into the maelstrom.
But before we do, social meteors. This is where the good Moof Milkers can find us on social media. On Apple Podcasts, search for The Skywalk, sky as in sky, and walk as in the thing you cook in, spells W-O-K. Subscribe there, and please leave us a review. Spotify, same deal. The Skywalk, three words. Disgracebook, facebook.com/TheSkywalk. Don't use it. Twitter, @TheSkywalk. Instagram, The Skywalk. And Jeffrey, tell us about Podomatic.
Well, listeners, as usual, we have Star Wars Over Coffee.podomatic.com.
And if we sound extra festive today, it's because this is going to be a festive episode. We are celebrating Solo, a Star Wars story on its third anniversary.
Dun, dun, dun.
And guys, I feel like this is the game, but we've been tailgating already for a while. First of all, a quick carryover from our last episode. Here on the Skywalk, we are fans of two things, Star Wars and good people. Thank you, Brendan, for appearing on our last episode, episode 126.
Thank you so much, Brendan.
And speaking of good people, we've got Megan back with us today.
The Meganator!
Welcome back, Megan.
I'm flattered. Thanks for having me, guys.
So listeners, you may remember Megan from such episodes as the Skywalk Dark Empire miniseries, where she's been joining us on that journey, and we have a lot of fun together.
Hell yeah.
And we've got one more episode of that to go, so look out for that one soon.
I'm excited for the finale.
The grand finale. Here's how we're going to do this today. Jeff, first I want to mention that when this movie first came out, you and I both enjoyed it. We saw it together a couple of times in the theater, back when you could do that. We both enjoyed it. We didn't love it, though.
No, for me, it was just a popcorn movie.
Yeah. And over the last 3 years, I have to say, it has grown on me so much. I have seen it so many times, and I just love it. And so we're going to re-review it. You know, guys, there's talk about this with things like Rotten Tomatoes. There are people who believe that after like 10 years, movies should be reassessed. And I think it's a good idea. And I think the reason is things like Blade Runner, you know, when Blade Runner came out, people were like, oh yeah, that's pretty cool, kind of weird, whatever. And then it becomes this like classic.
Exactly.
I would love to see what would happen if people maybe even wait a few more years till everyone comes around on Solo and then re-review it. But that's kind of what we're going to do here. First, we're going to attempt to give the Moof Milkers the brief history of the making of Solo. We've talked about it before on the show, so we're going to do it quickly. So basically what happened with this movie was Phil Lord and Chris Miller were hired to direct Solo, a Star Wars story. They have directed the Lego movie, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, the recent Mitchells vs. the Machines on Netflix, all of which have tremendous reviews. So they were the guys that were hired to direct this movie based on a script from Lawrence Kasdan and his son, Jonathan Kasdan. Lawrence Kasdan wrote Raiders of the Lost Ark and The Empire Strikes Back, two of the greatest movies of all time.
Oh, damn, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's got a crazy resume. So anyway, what happened is they start directing the movie, though, and people weren't liking what they were doing with Lawrence Kasdan's script and blah, 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 whatever. All that speculation, there was a falling out. They were fired from the movie once they were almost finished shooting it. And then Ron Howard was brought in to finish and or reshoot 80% of the movie, allegedly, depending on what you believe.
Drama.
And then we ended up with Solo, a movie that was also not marketed really well. Also came out only 6 months, not even, after The Last Jedi. Also was released in the springtime, spring slash summer, May 24th or 5th, depending on who you ask, of 2018, in the thick of heavy Hollywood blockbuster movie season. Only, I believe, Jeff, 3 weeks after Infinity War?
Yeah, it was really close. Oh. And I was like, really?
That's rough.
So it was really bad timing.
They just messed up on all fronts.
And there were still, I would just say there was a little bit of fatigue from Last Jedi as well.
You see, Jeff.
No.
That's how a lot of people feel.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say, Jeff, from my point of view, Bob Iger used fatigue as a way to cover for another multitude of sins.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's a lot easier to say, well, people just weren't ready for another Star Wars yet, even though you got like a dozen Marvel movies in the same year that everybody went to see. It's easier to say that than to say, well, we screwed up like eight different things along the way, and that's why the movie actually didn't do well. That's my opinion. But who knows? Who knows? I'm just glad we have it now, and I'm so glad. I want to say, this movie, Megan, you may not realize, there is a movement. There is a hashtag Make Solo 2 Happen that has just completely blown up on the internet. Some people don't like it. They're annoyed by it. Whatever. It's fun.
I like that hashtag. I'm going to start using that on Twitter.
So, Brett, like, is there any quantification, though, on how popular this really is? Like, how many people have liked
A good question, Jeff. Jeff, we should look that up later. We should look that up later. Yeah, because
I'm a numbers guy.
I think it's a lot. I do think it's a lot. And look, this episode, we got more comments. I can't remember the last time we got this many comments, people weighing in. We asked the Moof Milkers to tell us what they love about Solo, A Star Wars Story. And we got so much that we actually scrapped the original plan of us all sharing our like top five or top 10 things about Solo or whatever. And now what we're going to do is we're just going to read what we got from the Moof Milkers, from you listeners. And, you know, we're going to weigh in on it too. And of course, we're going to have our own opinions and things that we love too. But yeah, I think just judging by that response, there's a lot of people who feel the way we do. And, you know, another part of it, too, is like sometimes you don't want a Star Wars that is like the fate of the entire universe. Well, we'll get into this because this is one of the comments.
It doesn't always need to be Apollo 13.
Yeah.
But sometimes you need some everything is awesome.
Jeff dropping Ron Howard and Lord and Miller jokes. Yeah. You feel a little backdraft?
Yeah, whole snap.
One little thing before we get into Solo. The fail bag. These are comments about our last episode that we'll just talk about real quick from Logan Evers on Facebook. He said, loved the episode. Even though it was a slow news day for Star Wars and we didn't get what we were hoping for, the Bad Batch made up for it. Look forward to the Solo, A Star Wars Story 3 years anniversary episode. And we'll pause his thoughts there because he has some thoughts on Solo.
Uh-oh.
Thank you, Logan, as always. Andre said, great episode, gents. Solo is and has been since release one of my top Star Wars indulgences.
There we go.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I mean as far as it's like you sit down for an evening and you're like, you know what? I think I don't care if it's the middle of the week. I'm going to have a drink.
That's right.
And you think about, well, what drink should it be? And you know, it's like, well, you know, I'm not going to be hardcore, so I'm not going to get out the tequila. I'm not going to do the whiskey either. I just want something smooth and maybe a little spicy. So, you know what I'm going with? Spicy rum.
Oh,
spicy dark rum and Coke, baby.
Oh. Here's why I like that, Jeff, because I associate rum with pirates.
Yes.
And
yes.
Solo is very much a pirate movie.
Oh, all the way.
Oh, I thought you were thinking spicy ramen, and I was like, oh, I would eat that right now.
Oh,
now, Megan, we want to make it all the way through the movie, and it's all 2 hours and 15 minutes long.
That's fair.
Yeah. So thank you, Moof Milkers, for weighing in, as always, in the fail bag. And now, continuing with the Moof Milkers, we're going to get into your thoughts on Solo, A Star Wars Story.
Wait, can I ask one question really quick?
Yeah.
So you were talking about that there's that hashtag to make a second. Do you think that could ever happen? Or because the first was not very successful, they're like, no way. But I feel like it ended in a way that it totally gave, you know, the flexibility to make a second or third.
Totally.
Yes.
Totally. And not only leaves flexibility, it outright begged for a sequel, right?
Brett, I have an announcement.
Uh-oh.
I'm making a guarantee.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I'm making a Solo 2 movie myself.
No. I've already made that.
Lando has been recast.
Hello, what have we here?
Yes, he has. But no, I'm making a guarantee right now.
Yep.
The Han Solo sequel, whether it becomes a movie or a TV show, I am guaranteeing that's going to happen within 15 years.
15?
15, okay. Yes.
That's too many, Jeff. It has to happen soon.
I know it's too many, but it's going to happen.
Dude, like Alden Ehrenreich could have a receding hairline. We can't wait that long. Let's not take any chances. Let's make it happen sooner.
Well, no, but here's now the reason I said 15 is because they might recast
him. Okay. Well, I hope not. I hope not.
I hope not, but I could see it.
But Megan, what Jeff mentioned, that is the big question. I mean, I think most people feel like something's going to happen. Would it be an actual movie sequel or would it be a series on Disney Plus? And I feel the thing is, I think the people who didn't like Solo at the time or maybe still don't, I think if it was a Disney Plus series, they would feel differently. I think a lot of that has to do with what you expect from a feature film that you go to watch in a theater. Yeah.
Well, I'd be happy with a show. I'll take a show or a sequel, you know? I hope that one way or another they do something with it.
Anything. I want just anything.
I need more of my boo Darth Maul.
There we go. So could you expound on the Darth Maul infatuation?
Jeff, we're going to get to the Darth Maul thing. We are going to get to that.
Because I have questions about this.
And also, I do want to mention, Jeff may have to leave a little bit early for very important duties. So we want to get to the to the Jeff required stuff.
Yeah.
Before we get into that, and we do have some stuff that definitely needs Jeff. Let's get into
is there a surprise Jeffrey happening? Okay.
Look.
All right, go ahead.
I'm going to be as cagey as Bob Iger on that one. First comment comes from Logan Evers, who says, Solo: A Star Wars Story is actually one of my favorite Star Wars films. The film was shot beautifully, and the cinematography was one of the highlights for me. I agree with him. I think the movie's beautiful. But let's go on. He says, when it comes to the humor, a lot of it felt really natural. There were a few times it did feel a bit forced, but other than that, it worked quite well. He says, I think they made a great call with the cast. It seems like they had great chemistry working together. I hope we see more of the surviving cast in the Lando series. Ooh. Megan, we should make a little footnote here to say that a Lando series was announced by Disney about 6 months ago.
Oh.
But no timeline on when that might happen.
Nothing.
And they did not confirm that Donald Glover would be returning, although everybody's opinion was like, well, why would you do it if he's
not? Yeah, totally. Oh, that's exciting. I hope they give a timeline soon.
We're skeptical that it'll actually happen, but we hope that it does. Logan continues, John Powell's score is just absolutely beautiful. I listen to it on a regular basis.
Ooh.
Yeah. Now, quick note on
that. That's an interesting recommendation. Yeah. Okay.
This is one of two Star Wars films that is not in the Skywalker saga sequence. Mm-hmm. It's not an episodic movie. So this and Rogue One, neither of them are scored by John Williams, although John Williams did write Solo's theme for this movie.
Oh, he did.
Yeah. So it's sort of a combo of John Williams and John Powell. But I agree. I love the music. And that's what makes me say, this is a pirate movie. Sometimes when I listen to it, at first I didn't like the fact that the score felt a little swashbuckly at times.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Felt like maybe a Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Well, that's why I was surprised, because I was like, that didn't sound like John Williams to me.
Right.
But
then I guess, you know, the whole point is like, Han is a swashbuckler, you know?
Yeah.
And these are very pirate-like adventures, and I think that's pretty cool. Logan also says, as much as I love the original Millennium Falcon, I honestly really like the look of the newer one from Solo a bit more.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wow, Jeff. Thank you. So are you like this one better?
Dude, this is my favorite. This is, if I could pick a version of the Millennium Falcon, this is it, man.
Wow.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
It's first of all, it's pristine.
Yes.
Okay. Like, you can eat off the floor of this thing.
Uh-huh.
Not to mention, of course, there's an escape. Not escape hatch, but
escape pod.
Escape, dude, the escape pod. Like, wow.
Or there used to be.
That was awesome.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So,
yep.
So the fact that there is one, I like the fact that the satellite dish is flat and it actually doesn't stick out. Like, all of those things make sense. It should be, if you're trying to make this the fastest ship in the galaxy, why would you introduce drag by having a standing up satellite dish? Like, these are the things I think about because I have some aerospace engineering in my background, but still.
Hard to make the Kessel run in that few parsecs if you got drag on top of the ship.
Thank you.
We're going to get you. Guess what, guys? We are now going to jump in to the Darth Maul thing. Or just Maul, because Logan mentions that too. He says, oh, and Maul's cameo at the end was totally unexpected. Seeing Ray Park accompanied by Sam Witwer made it that much more epic. So Logan is right. Maul in this movie is played by Ray Park. That's who we see on screen. But the voice is Sam Witwer, who has played the voice of Darth Maul in all of the animated stuff.
Oh.
So Megan, I know that you have some pretty intense feelings around Maul.
I just think he is so cool. I screamed in the theaters. Like, I remember I only saw Solo once, maybe twice, but I saw it in theaters, and I remember actually screaming when he made a cameo. I was like, oh my God, oh my God. Yeah.
Were you the only one?
What?
Were you the only one?
Well, I saw it at Apple Cinemas, which I don't know if you've been in Cambridge. I went at a matinee, so it was just me and my ex-boyfriend there. So it didn't matter if I
Are you serious? Yeah. Oh, wow. That's cool.
There was no one else's reactions, just ours. I don't know what it is, but I just think he is the coolest, but also the most terrifying villain in Star Wars.
Yeah.
I remember as a child being terrified of Darth Maul in Phantom Menace. Wow. And now I just find him to be really like endearing and cool. I'd be his friend as long as he doesn't kill me.
Oh, okay. First of all, Brett, I have like 10 questions. So
this is worth digging into.
Let me just go through. All right. So the first one is do you like Darth Maul, but do you also like Ray Park? Or is it just Darth Maul?
I actually don't know Ray Park, so I guess it's just Darth Maul. I'm gonna look him up right now.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think like Ray Park is awesome, and like the moveset that he has and the demeanor that he has is amazing. But just Darth Maul is a thing, you know. The design
is definitely Darth Maul.
Oh, it's cool seeing him out of his makeup.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So we have a winner. All right. So question number two. I've had this debate with Brett. If you happen to go to a Star Wars convention and Ray Park is there, would you pay for his autograph?
Interesting question.
As Darth Maul.
As Darth Maul. So would he would sign it and be like, Darth Maul.
Yes. And not only would he sign it as Darth Maul, but he's in costume.
Oh, well, if he's in costume, I mean, 100%.
100%.
I would be willing to pay, like, if he was not in costume, I'd be willing to pay a little, but I'd be willing to pay a lot if he was in costume, and I would have to get a photo, so I would probably cost extra.
Yeah.
I'd be willing to drop a pretty penny on that.
The photo would be way better.
Would you also?
Darth Maul bachelor auction?
Okay, so here's the next level of that.
Yeah.
Would you also pay for Darth Maul to leave a voicemail? On your
100%. There's no question. I totally would.
Okay.
That would be amazing,
right?
Also,
right?
Like, now that I'm thinking back, like, do we hear him really talk much?
No,
we don't.
Can I tell you guys the truth? Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of Sam Witwer's Darth Maul. Like, I find it a little hammed up. Like, he says everything way too slow.
Dude, in the final Cold War, he sounds great.
He drags the show, man. Like, I don't know. That's just me. That's my personal feelings on it.
Okay,
but I'm not complaining.
So I'm hearing some Darth Maul hate over here.
Jeff, think about the voicemail he could leave for you.
That's what I'm saying.
He could be like, leave Megan a message. And before you do, at last we shall have our revenge on the Jedi.
That would be so awesome.
Oh, that'd be amazing. All right. That would be so good.
So next question. So,
wow, this is... Okay.
So Megan... Since you like Darth Maul so much, would you be willing, if you had Ray Park's phone number, would you DM him as Darth Maul?
And would you sign it Darth Megan?
You sign it Darth Megan, but you would send him a text saying, Darth Maul, what's up?
What's up? Love you.
Megan, I feel like I could practically answer this for you.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
this
yeah,
is a
yeah,
no-brainer.
Why not? You know, I'll throw it in the universe and see what happens.
And then final question. Okay. Final question. Is it a deal breaker would you stop being friends with someone if they told you that Darth Maul sucks?
Oh. Like a Maul hater. Yeah. Could you be friends
like complete Maul hater? Like they don't want to see Phantom Menace because they think Darth Maul is terrible.
First of all, Jeff, I don't think that person exists.
Yeah, because I feel like that is one of the best parts of the Phantom Menace. I guess, yeah, I would be willing to close the door on that friendship.
Okay, okay.
Get out of here.
Close the blast doors. All right, Jeff, let me tell you something right now. You're asking too many questions because I've got important questions for you.
Okay, well, we can talk more about Darth Maul later. But
okay. Yeah.
All right. Because, Jeff, we're going to, before you go, we're going to have to do this other thing.
Thank you for entertaining me, Megan.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for the questions. I hope that Darth Maul hears
this. I think our listeners will love this.
So, also, Rui mentioned the same thing. This is from our pal Rui, one of our very favorite Moof Milkers. He mentions Maul as well. He says, that was a shocker. In fact, of all the new films, that surprised me the most. So yeah, I guess was anyone expecting to see Maul at that point? I don't think so.
I've watched this movie 10 times. No, it's more than 10. And every single time, I'm still surprised to see Maul at the end.
Right.
And I love his conversation with her, with Kira.
It really gives you that vibe of this is serious business. There are real stakes here, and she's never really out. She never really gets out of this criminal underworld. And it's almost the better she does, the more danger she's in. Because now it's just hey, guess what, Kira? You're my new best friend, and I kill most of my friends.
Well, not only that, though, but Kira truly shows her dark side, too. She's probably one of the better villains that we've seen in a Star Wars.
So let's talk about that for a second, because I think one of the best things about this movie, I'm going to skip down to Connor. Connor says this. He says, what I love about it is that it's a very lighthearted and classic film in terms of Star Wars feel. Han, to me, was the star of it, but Alden's portrayal of him really made me appreciate and sort of care more for Han Solo than I did in the past. I love how he played a fairly optimistic, good-hearted, and naive Han Solo who still wore the mask of a bravado-esque bad guy at times. It's the most lighthearted Star Wars movie to me. So I really appreciate this because this is what I love. It did have that darkness. But at the same time, some people use the term buoyancy when talking about this kind of movie. There are real stakes, but it never takes itself overly seriously. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about it. So one second, it's borderline slapstick humor. And the next, it's Darth Maul's going to end you,
right?
You know? So, and I think that's what I love about it. And it is fun and it is lighthearted. And I do love the humor. And another thing, is this the best Star Wars date movie? Megan, you said that you were there.
See, this is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I was on a date with my ex-boyfriend there. Yeah, I feel honestly, I was going to say, I feel what I liked about this was that I like Star Wars a lot, but I'm not a mega fan. And I feel this was a very accessible movie.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Because it was just fun and lighthearted where, there were some serious moments and Darth Maul came in, but I don't know. I just felt it was more accessible and just a fun adventure where you could go in and just have a blast and not be what's going on? Or I don't know. I liked that about it. And it was a good date movie for sure.
When I was watching it last night, my wife got home late from work.
Okay.
She comes in toward the end of the movie and she was quoting it.
Stop so it.
First she tells me, she's like, oh, you know, I really like this one. Almost as if to say, why are you watching it without me? Which was this is why I told you earlier today that I needed to watch it today.
Okay, your wife has officially crossed over, man.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
I didn't. She's quoting Star Wars?
Quoting lines, dude. When Kira's I know who you really are. And Han's oh, well, who's that? And she's the good guy. My wife said that first.
Oh, wow.
And I was dang, man. She really does like this more. And my kid does, too, except that I've kind of, played it out for her. And that happens. But another thing I wanted to mention that I love about it is, they really never lose sight of the story and the point of this movie, which is Han basically learns that life isn't fair.
Yep.
Being the best pilot doesn't always mean you win. Being morally right doesn't always mean you win. And he really does lose Kira that day at customs at the spaceport.
Nope.
Because he thinks he's getting her back.
He never got her back.
Movie, no. And he never really did.
Mm-hmm. But he was hanging on.
Yeah.
He hung on for her.
And as we've discussed in Star Wars Dark Empire, no one is more naive, especially when it comes to romance, than Han Solo.
Yeah, he does not know much.
No, up until the very end.
Shaking my head, when I was reading it, I was what are you talking? Yeah, he does not know love. I wish I could think of the quotes from the Dark Empire, but he was clearly just like, just oblivious to anything when it came to Leia. Yeah. So, like,
Megan, I've told Jeff before, it's very obvious to me that Han did not have any sisters.
Oh, right.
Like, and so I relate so well to Han because like he is just utterly confused by women at all times. No idea. Okay, since we only have Jeff for a couple of more minutes,
okay,
it's time to bring something back.
Uh-oh.
A little thing we call Jeopardy.
Nice.
And for the first time ever, we actually have a two-person round of Jeopardy. Jeff, you have competition this time.
Here it comes. I think I'm at a disadvantage today. Go ahead.
I don't think so, Jeff.
No, I'm slightly distracted.
Oh, okay. You're distracted. Okay. Well, that makes up because, you know, Megan is not as entrenched in Star Wars lore as we are, okay, but she does love Solo. And Megan, this is something that'll help level the playing field a little bit. You can say the name of the character or the actor or actress who plays that character. Okay. So you can cut me off in the middle of the question if you know the answer.
Okay.
And of course, it's Jeopardy. So it's actually I'm giving the answer and you say who is.
Okay. Okay.
Here we go. This free-willed droid loves liberating her brethren as much as Lando loves her.
L3.
Jeff got it. All right.
Jeff's going to dominate this. I can already say.
Okay, so you want to know, but here's the thing. The only reason I know this is because I've been playing Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes like every day.
Oh,
but
snap. Go ahead. I hope none of these other characters are in that game.
Yeah. So,
okay. And remember, Megan, you can say the actor or actress.
Okay.
Okay, next question. Next answer.
All right.
This is a tough one. This wicked big white worm wrangles juvenile delinquents in the Corellian underworld. I don't think one of you are getting this.
Okay, I got it.
Jeff?
The lady.
Who is?
Who is the lady?
Lady what?
Lady P.
Oh, a little further, Jeff.
That's all I got, man. Lady
who
P.
Who is Lady Proxima?
Oh, okay. All right.
I love Lady Proxima.
I should get partial credit.
I guess you get partial credit. So 1.5 for Jeff.
All right.
Okay. Next one.
Okay, here it goes.
Remember, actor or actress.
Okay.
This broken down old crook loses the love of his life and his own life all because of Han.
Woody. Who is Woody Harrelson?
Yeah, oh, Jeff got
true.
It. Jeff
okay,
got it.
Wow, I need to rewatch.
Jeff is cleaning up today.
Well, yes, I mean, yes, there's no question he's going to win this.
I've seen this movie more than 10 times.
That's true. So. Yeah, as have I. Okay, this one plays off that one.
All right.
Beckett's short-lived six-limb wingman.
Ooh, that's too tough, man. That's too hard.
Hey, bro, what are these questions? You're trying to stump me here.
That question isn't fair, man. Nobody knows.
Oh, man,
his
if you
name.
Guys think this one's unfair, wait till we get to the last one.
Oh, goodness.
All right. Who is Rio Durant? Voiced by John Favreau, creator of The Mandalorian.
Oh,
no way.
That's actually really cool.
Yeah. Can I tell you guys something? I'm not a fan of Rio Durant. Okay. Next question and final question.
All right.
And you're never going to get this. I'm just telling you that now.
All right.
I just want the listeners playing at home to like in their mind compete against both of you.
Well, beat me.
Okay, here we go. Connor especially. Connor's good at this. Okay. This ludicrous Lando adjacent lobster is beloved by the fandom despite lending nothing to the game of Sabacc.
What?
I'm guessing Jeff can picture this character.
I can, but I
mean,
I
don't
think
the name is.
I don't think he spoke though.
No, he didn't.
Was that a speaking character?
No.
No. Oh man.
Like I said,
dude,
he lends nothing to the Sabacc game.
You can't.
And he lends nothing to the story either, but he is amazing and unforgettable.
Did he even have a hand?
He has claws, Jeff. I mean, he is
No. I'm in a Sabacc hand. Do you have a good Sabacc hand?
I don't even know. Could he even hold them without chopping them in half? Therm's scissor punch. That is literally the name of this character.
No way.
Yes.
Okay. Why does that sound like a name from He-Man or something?
I think, you know, here's a theory, Jeff, and I think this is pretty obviously true, including other Disney Plus releases.
Yeah.
They're making these things now with maximum memeability factor.
Yes. You know?
Like some of these characters they're creating and naming in a way that I just think they're baiting social media to pick up and run with it, you know? Mm-hmm. Therm Scissor Punch.
I mean, come on.
The Zemo dancing in Captain America and the Winter Soldier, mm-hmm. just for memes. That was just for GIFs, yeah. you know?
Oh.
Jeffrey, any final thoughts on Solo before you leave us? Because I know you have to leave us.
Well, it's, you know, I just want to double down on Solo is a great movie to drink spiced rum with.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a great, I understand what you're saying now, Brett. It's a great swashbuckling movie.
Yep.
I do like the fact that it gets very serious at the end, mm-hmm. but then that to me, the center of the movie is still Han Solo's relationship with Chewie,
yeah.
which is super yes. cool. Cause I mean, yes. my favorite character for a long time was Chewie.
Yep.
And it always will be.
I agree.
Jeff, if I can read you one last comment that goes along with what you're saying now, and it comes from our friend Andre. Mm. He says of his favorite things, his two favorite scenes, number one, Chewie and Han meet. When Han gets thrown to the beast, air quotes, it had the same feel to me as Luke falling into the Rancor pit. At the same time, it felt like Han and Chewie's reunion in Jabba's prison. Han speaking Shriwook badly, so great.
Yes, yes.
And Jeff, I think that's one of the things we loved from the first time we saw the movie.
Yeah.
And it makes so much sense. Like, it's a fun way for them to meet.
And of course, Han speaks Shriwook.
Oh, that is so good.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
poorly.
But I love the fact he speaks it poorly and that he chooses not to. Because, you know, it's kind of weird, right? He's talking to this alien. And the alien's talking back to him, but no one else understands what Chewie's saying.
Jeff, we've both done that, have we not?
Yeah.
Have you not had conversations where someone's speaking to you in Spanish?
Right.
And you understand it for the most part.
But the person
you're replying
next to
them in English.
Yeah.
Right. And you're replying in English and they understand you for the most part. Yeah. I thought that was great.
That.
He also says Chewie becomes the co-pilot.
I love Kira's line. She's like, oh, yeah, yeah. I'm getting up. Chewie, you get over here.
Yep. And Jeff, how about the Y-shaped bandolier in this one?
Ooh.
I love that. I love that they changed. So, Megan, I don't know if you remember, but in the original, like every other Star Wars movie, Chewie has this bandolier that wraps around his shoulder and his waist on the opposite side. And this one is like a Y-shaped thing that connects here and wraps down.
Oh.
And I love that because it's like a signature look for Chewie that you immediately recognize as being from this movie. And it's just cool. And then when he has the goggles on the train heist sequence, like that, oh, just puts the look over the top for me.
Well,
I love Solo Chewie so much.
In the same vein, Brett, dude, Lando's capes.
Oh, yes.
Dude, just to have three of those.
Jeff, how many do you have now? Because I remember
I've got two.
I knew it was multiple.
You knew it was more than
you
one.
You own two capes?
I do.
Oh, whoa.
I own two Lando capes.
Well, we're back in the office. I feel like first day you have to wear that.
Yes.
I'm expecting.
You know what? I might break it out. Yeah.
All right, Jeffrey. So long.
On that note.
We'll catch up with you on Tatooine.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, G-Man Cali. All right, Meganator. Yeah, and Jeffrey, Jeff will be with us again for the very ending of the show that we just now recorded before going on. But we got a few more comments we want to get to from Jordan Harrison Poncilius. What a fantastic
name.
That's
an incredible name. I'm jealous. It's so fancy.
Dude is ready to be a character in Star Wars. this is awesome. First time commenter, he said, seeing the Millennium Falcon in all its splendor. Megan, I don't know about you, but I think when they're making the Kessel Run towards the end of the movie, it's one of the most underrated Star Wars action scenes to date.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't know if you remember, there's the part where, and I think this is one of the things in the commercials, there's a TIE fighter coming up on their left and Han just basically backhands it with the Millennium Falcon. Spins the ship, flips the TIE fighter off into an asteroid and explodes. And it's just one of the coolest things.
Yeah.
William Steves says, it's my favorite rendition of Han Solo. I prefer Alden Ehrenreich over Harrison Ford.
Wow. That is a bold statement.
Right? Wow. If William could see our faces right now, we're just like in complete shock. Megan, this is how you looked when you saw Maul come up on screen at the end of the movie.
Yeah,
Like, what?
Wow, I've never heard anyone say that.
Neither have I.
Wow. William.
I loved his performance in this movie. You know, like, I think it's great. I think even at times, maybe the acting isn't the greatest, but I think he has the right personality. I think totally. He has the right vibe.
He has like the swag of, you know, yeah. Han Solo. Like, I feel like he does the character well. But I don't know if I'd say I like him better. Because I feel like, I mean, I can only think of, you know, Han as Harrison Ford. It's just like an iconic role. Yeah.
You know, maybe like the, what do they call that? The elephant in the room. To me is that like with any of these movies, Megan, when they go back and do, if there's a prequel, and Solo is basically a prequel too. I don't actually, there is a disconnect in my mind. It's not that I'm not accepting them in the role, but like I disconnect. Like when I look at Anakin, I don't think, oh, that's Darth Vader.
Yes. No, I feel the same way.
Like, to me, I understand on a logical level that this is supposed to be the same character, but in my mind, it's like two completely separate things.
Oh, totally. No, I can see that.
But yeah, I did love him in the movie.
They did a good job casting. I really think the cast was great in the movie. I thought they had good chemistry.
I agree. Well, speaking of the cast, I'm going to read one from our pal Artie on Instagram. He says, should have been Chris Pratt.
Huh.
Now, you know, Megan, I always say there are no wrong answers except this one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can see why he would maybe say that, because Chris Pratt, like, especially that summer, and like, I feel like he was in like Jurassic World or whatever, the Jurassic or like Guardians of the Galaxy. So I feel like he made a name for himself in these action movies. But I just don't think I see him as Han Solo. I think I would have honestly been pretty disappointed.
Oh, I would too.
Even though I do like Chris Pratt, I think he's a good actor.
Yeah, same here, same here. And I know Artie very well, so I feel, I'm not usually mean to the Moof Milkers, but I can be sarcastic with Artie. I love you, Artie. But you're so wrong, Artie. How could you be this wrong? How could you be this wrong?
I feel like, did he write anything else like to explain where he was coming from, or just as
Chris no, Pratt? He usually does. He usually does.
Artie.
I don't know.
We need more context here.
Yeah. I'm going to have to call him up and correct him on this one. Yeah. Somebody's got to put Artie in his place. Jonathan Gabo says, I loved everything about it and hope they would at least do a Disney Plus show with some more Han and Chewie escapades. That's the thing, you know, like, I think I understand, like, most people are more keen on Lando and Donald Glover, and I totally get that. Mm-hmm. That's the cool thing, Megan. There was something that we were talking about before our last episode about how, you know, it's like music. You might feel like, you know, the Beatles are the greatest band of all time, or Jimi Hendrix is the best of all time, or whatever, but that doesn't make them your favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at Solo the same way. Like, this whole movie, this might not be the most well-made Star Wars film of all time, but I can see it being some people's favorite. And it's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. Same. Yeah. I'd be curious to see a show or a sequel. You know, I'd love to see more of these characters and these actors, because I think it would just be fun. And it would be compelling. I mean, the way they ended it with Darth Maul, obviously I want more.
I know.
Let's see it.
And don't forget, Megan, not only does Maul show up, but at the end is when Woody, I think we should always call him Woody. It's hard to call him Beckett. Woody says, you know, I'll meet up with you. If you survive, I'll meet up with you on Tatooine. Big shot gangster putting together a crew, which is Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah.
And so we don't get to pick up. And so there's an unexplored thing between this movie and the original Star Wars, A New Hope.
Yeah.
The whole relationship between Han and Jabba, and why Han gets on his bad side and all that. So.
And we got to just use that hashtag over and over again.
And Megan, you know, like, look, Megan can see behind me, there's the Art of Solo book behind me. The Solo Visual Guide, which is one of my favorite books of all time, even in a literary sense. It's such fertile ground in terms of the creativity that went into this movie. I just want to say, as an aside, is amazing. Like, the artist, the work in these books, like, and everything that went into it, the costumes, Enfys Nest and the Cloud Riders all look so cool. The designs are just great. So it's like so fertile creatively for someone to just come in there and like tell further adventures. And by the way, you know, they announced a series called Lando, but in this movie, Lando is recording the Calrissian Chronicles, which are like his tales. Like, don't overthink it, guys.
Yeah.
Just make the Calrissian Chronicles.
Oh, they
I would love to see that. Another comment from this one from Charlie Downs, who said, our good pal Charlie. I felt like Solo honored the original trilogy better than the prequels did, even if it was cheesy. Yeah, I get there was some cheese factor at times in Solo, but I understand what he's saying, feeling like it honored the original trilogy. I definitely think it did.
Yeah.
I think one of the best things about this movie, Megan, they did not ruin Han Solo.
No, not at all.
I think that was a possibility here when you go into making a movie like this, like that you're totally going to undermine everything people love about the character. You're going to weaken the character in some way. And I don't think it did at all.
No.
To me, it might even enhance some of his backstory, you know?
Yeah. I like that all the comments here are pretty positive. I like that. I'm glad people really liked the movie.
Me too. It's so great to get. And I don't think we got. Okay. I will say we got a couple of wise guys who, when asked what they love about Solo, replied with something like the ending or the fact that it ended. I'm looking at you, Steve.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, not everybody likes it. That's okay. I am convinced, Megan, that they will come around.
I am too. Give it a couple more years, maybe the 5-year, the 10-year anniversary, then they'll be, you know, they'll be big fans.
And you know what else has to happen? They have to get sick of everything else. You know, so sometimes the way you end up loving something is because you're like, I've watched everything else 13,000 times and let me give this one another shot. And then you start to come around on it. I hope that happens.
I think it will. I have hope for these people, including Steve out there. I feel like you're going to come around.
Yeah. We got a couple more very short comments. So these ones from Instagram. Lego Star Wars SETI said, all of my nostalgia to Han Solo. It's a little vague, but I appreciate the spirit of this comment. I think I know what they're saying here. Emmanuel Blumstein says, the humor and the train heist sequence. Absolutely, Emmanuel. That's a great comment. And I do love the train heist is really good. I love the ski boot stormtroopers. And the explosion at the end is just breathtaking. And lastly, this is a great comment to close on. Robert Reviews on Instagram says, everything. It's such a great movie.
Love that.
Couldn't agree more, Robert. Love it. Final thoughts, Megan. I want to call out one thing that I particularly love about this movie, which is Han Solo's speeder. It is one of the coolest designs I've seen. It looks like a VHS tape and a book. And I've come to love that so much. And I think like everything about it just feels right. And you know, Megan, what's really cool is like they research this stuff so much. They never lose sight of the fact that Star Wars is, quote unquote, a period piece. And it's true, right? Like it happened a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. There is an aesthetic. If you're a certain amount of time before the original trilogy, then your aesthetic should reflect that, you know? And I think they put a lot of great care into that and it really shows up on screen. So Megan, I just love this movie. And I'm so glad so many of the Moof Milkers weighed in and told us that they feel the same way. And I think the love for this is just going to grow and grow over time.
I remember, seeing it and loving it and then reading the reviews. But I'm glad like people are starting to come around and see that. It actually is a super fun movie.
Yeah.
And it's like, I like the goofy humor. So I'm here for it. I think it's one of the best of the Star Wars movies.
An interesting analog, Megan, is that this came out a little bit later, but has often been compared to something like Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Okay.
I remember a lot of people commenting that, and we might have even said that on the podcast at the time, in the sense that it didn't feel like one of the best Indiana Jones movies. I mean, there's only four of them, but, you know, people were like, it's more Temple of Doom than Raiders of the Lost Ark. And maybe that's true, but I was disappointed when it came out, but then I just started enjoying it for what it is, you know, which is a sort of silly adventure.
Yeah. And that's what you want, especially during the quarantine. I feel like you want to watch stuff like that. Like, I want to have a good time, some serious, but also some goofiness. The perfect mix.
Yes. Megan, thank you so much for coming back to the Skywalk.
Thanks for having me.
I look forward to us all getting back together to finish off our Star Wars Dark Empire miniseries with episode number 6 that we'll do sometime over the summer.
Yes, for sure.
This is Jeff.
This is Brett.
This is Megan.
And we're just two guys and a girl talking about Star Wars all the time on the Skywalk.